Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The new European Commission has taken office and it's now full steam ahead with the legislative agenda. Indeed, President von der Leyen has set important goals for the college's first 100 days, including unveiling key initiatives on defence and competitiveness. Well, for our first interview with the new crop of EU commissioners, I'm very pleased to welcome Hajar Labib, who is in charge of preparedness and crisis management, as well as equality. It's a particularly demanding portfolio because of its broad scope. It encompasses, for example, humanitarian diplomacy in the Horn of Africa and the rights of people living with disabilities in Europe. Hajar Labib was, until a few months ago, the foreign minister of Belgium. She's a member of the Reformist Movement, which is a politically liberal force in Belgium, and she has also worked as a television journalist. Welcome to the programme, Commissioner.
Thank you.
You've just come back from Ukraine. What expectations did the people you spoke to have of EU aid this winter?
The expectations are great, are high, of course, because we are in the midst of the winter and the temperature are under zero. And I can tell you that I still feel the cold in my bones. And I had the chance to visit a lot of projects in the field near the border, where I saw massive destruction and people living in a shelter. I have to say that I'm back full of energy, because they are impressive in their resilience. They are completely future-oriented despite the difficult conditions, despite 3 years nearly of war. We are going to learn a lot of them when it comes to preparedness, to crisis management. They are adapting constantly their tools, their equipments. And when it comes to equality, the second part of my portfolio, I have to say that mainly I met women. Women are those who are left behind. You know, it's grandmother, it's women alone with children. And that's why we need really to support them. And I went there with an initial allocation of 148 million euro for humanitarian aid.
Let's talk about the equality dimension in the case of other conflict situations as well. In Syria, particularly, how should the EU approach normalization with the Syrian authorities when it comes to the treatment of women in post-Assad Syria?
What we don't want is an Assad 2.0 Syria. We want an inclusive Syria, a Syria capable to embrace all its population in all its diversity. So we will judge the de facto authorities based on their actions and not on their words. So we are waiting, but you have to understand that humanitarian aid is not linked with those principles. It's always unconditional. It's needs-based.
Well, several EU member states are asking for an easing of sanctions on Syria. What will you be saying to your colleagues at the EU Foreign Affairs meeting on January the 27th? Will you be supporting easing of sanctions in order to help with humanitarian aid in Syria?
frankly speaking, it's not my role. My role is to assess the humanitarian conditions and to see if it's inclusive or not, if some minorities are rejected from these humanitarian support. And we will see then if there will be certainly a discussion about the lifting of the sanctions. It will be an open discussion, but at the end, we will need a consensus. We will need the agreement of all the member states.
Let's talk about Gaza. There seems to be a political breakthrough. What role do you see the EU playing in any reconstruction of Gaza? And as we're talking about equality as well, will there be a specific dimension for women?
Before talking about reconstruction, we need a humanitarian access. We need a ceasefire, which is apparently the case right now. And we need an unhindered access for humanitarian aid. the majority of the hospitals, public services are completely destroyed. 80% of the social civilian infrastructure, the buildings are destroyed. The majority of the wounded are women, girls, children, and the loss also are tremendous, essentially children and women. So we need peace before talking about reconstruction.
Question on Afghanistan, because women there continue to be deprived of their fundamental rights, and the EU has in the last few weeks allocated nearly 20 million euros to a program which includes women's economic empowerment. But how can you empower women, even if it's through non-governmental organizations, when the Taliban don't really allow for the empowerment of women?
You know, the non-recognition of the Taliban government allow us nevertheless to work in the humanitarian field. We are present, the European Union is present since 1994 in Afghanistan. We never left Afghanistan. We are present in 34 provinces, providing support to all the population, including the women. And that's why we are still there. And we will assess the situation if they are going to exclude completely the women of the humanitarian aid. We will reassess our presence, of course.
One situation which doesn't get nearly enough attention in the EU is the crisis in Sudan. But you've been speaking about sexual violence as a weapon of war that's being used there. What is the EU planning to do, though?
Yeah, and again, we are present. You know, the EU is one of the major actors when it comes to humanitarian support. We are present despite the factions, despite the wars. We are delivering, even though it's very difficult because the front lines between the two factions at war are moving all the time. And indeed, you are totally right. Unfortunately, it's a crisis which is underrepresented in the media. We don't talk as much as we should of the situation in Sudan, and where indeed the women, and again, are the first victim. Sexual violence are a weapon of war. We are seeing massive rape over there, and massive displacement of persons. It's maybe one of the largest protracted crises. And again, the EU is one of the major actor presence in the ground.
Let's come back to gender equality in the EU itself. If the EU wants to lead by example, I guess it should have male-female parity in the European Commission. Of course, it didn't quite achieve that with this commission. There are 10 women as commissioners and 16 men in this new European Commission. Is that a good enough balance from your point of view?
For sure not. But it's also because of the reluctance of the member states. And it's also reflect what is at stake in our European Union, where we are observing a backlash of gender balance everywhere, where also the European Parliament is not as much as balanced as it was before, you know, during the previous mandate. And so this is something that we need to tackle. And I have to say that we have been able to adopt groundbreaking directives during the previous mandate, and then we need to implement it. And it's not going to be easy, I think, but you can count on me.
So in your auditions, you talked about women's, your audition at the European Parliament, you talked about women's bodies becoming a battleground. Any specific cases or countries that you had in mind when you said that?
Yeah, when we are talking about the notion of consent for sexual relation, when we are talking about abortion, when we are talking about sex and reproductive health and rights. This is a very sensitive issue today. We need to address that because this is our values that are at stake. We need to be sure that women, a girl, have the same perspective for their own future. And when we talk about competitiveness, how we can be competitive while the half of our humanity are still suffering from the glass ceilings, this is something very pragmatic. We can address that in a very pragmatic manner. You know, violence against women in the whole European Union costs 290 billion to our society. So it means that we need really to tackle those issues.
One final point. We've been talking a lot in Europe about the influence of Elon Musk, the US tech billionaire. When you see the influence that he has on X, the social platform, when he talks about masculinity is making a comeback in mm-hmm. politics, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah. No reaction is the best reaction. You know, sometimes it's better to ignore. I'm not sure that I'm going to stay in X, frankly speaking, because it's became a battlefield with a lot of insults and insanity, I mean, within. And I prefer to concentrate on the real issue, and disinformation, for instance, is a real issue.
We'll be talking a lot about that in the second half of this Talking Europe show, but for now I want to thank you. Thank you so much, Haji Labib, EU Commissioner for Preparedness and Crisis Management and Equality. And in part two of Talking Europe, we'll be talking a lot more about Elon Musk and X and what the EU should be doing to respond to him. Do stay with us.